Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning, and welcome to another edition of News You Can Use right here on WTIC News Talk 1080. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we have one of the nicest guys I've ever met in the house today with me on the show. It's so great to have sitting right across from me, Father Charles Jacobs. Father, thank you so much for being here.
You're welcome, Ann. I'm happy to be with you today.
You know, a lot of people listening to this program are actually on their way to church, which I find very interesting. I'll run into people and say, hey, we're on our way to church, and we heard your show. So hopefully people are listening on their way to church.
On your way to church. Can't be going to a better place at this time of the day.
You sure can't. So one of the things, and we're going to talk about a few different things here, Father, because, you know, some people might recognize your name recently. You've got a lot of very loyal parishioners
who love
what you built in Hartford in your church, and we'll talk about that a little bit. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, too, is, you know, unfortunately, the condition of the Pope and his recent health news, right, Pope Francis. So it means the whole world is watching, right, day by day, step by step.
Yep, yep.
And I think it impacts a lot of us, doesn't it, when our leader in faith is so ill.
It does, Ian, because we see in him a certain stability, right, as the head of the Roman Catholic Church all over the world. And so we look to him as our prime person who really keeps the faith alive throughout the world, who channels out through his own life what it means to be a follower of Christ. And certainly we saw that over the years in his outreach to so many different groups, marginal groups especially, welcoming everyone into the Roman Catholic Church, making them all aware that all are seen as children of God, and helping them to grow in that intimate relationship with God. It's interesting you said that the people, they're on their way to church, and so there are two different types of ways in which people pray, and that's the first way. They come to church on Sunday or whatever day in community prayer. It's a, can I be, quote the scriptures a little bit?
Of course.
And so community prayer tells us in the scriptures that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus said, there am I in their midst. And so in coming together in community prayer, we recognize the presence of God not only within us, but among us, as we come together as a community of faith to give praise and thanks to God, who continues to make all good things possible for us. And then when we leave there, we return to our homes and to our own places, and we continue that community prayer through our own daily private prayer, where the Gospel of Matthew tells us that when you pray, go to your room and close the door and pray to your Father in private. And your Father who sees what no one sees will reward you. And so that relationship, which is communal in nature, now becomes one-on-one, intimate, me and God, God and me. And so we continue to grow in our relationship with God so that in growing in that intimacy with the Creator, we come to recognize the presence of God more fully in each other. And then we ask the Lord to help us to recognize the needs of those who surround us. And then we sort of roll up our sleeves and we help each other as much as we can along the journey of life.
You know, and that's exactly what you've done, Father, with Trinity Church in Hartford, where until some recent circumstances, which we'll get into, you're pastor of that church for how many years?
I've been there, Anne, since 2001. So that would be 23 years I've been in Holy Trinity. Previous to that, I spent 8 years at St. Augustine's Church, which is also in the city of Hartford. It's about a mile away from Holy Trinity. And so when it was time for me to, my time was over at St. Augustine's, I wanted to continue city ministry because I love it. And so I asked to be assigned to Holy Trinity Church on Capitol Avenue in Hartford, where I've continued my mission to the disadvantaged, the poor people, homeless, addicted, marginalized people, you know, mentally ill. And so that's really, I think, if anywhere the church needs to be, is to have a presence in the cities.
Talk about the parishioners and the relationships that you've built over the years there, Father. You know, it's one of the last Lithuanian churches, if not the last.
The last in the Archdiocese.
The last in the Archdiocese, right, in the state of Connecticut, correct? So you've got an early Mass, which is in Lithuanian, and then you've got the other Mass later in the morning. So talk about the relationships that you've built there. Tell us some of the stories of, you know, it is a mission church.
Right. In 2015, our church was sort of slated to be closed. And so at that point, I met with the Archbishop of that time, who was Archbishop Leonard Blair. And we sat down and we talked. Actually, we talked the weekend before the church was supposed to close. And I shared with him all the work that our parish does in terms of social outreach and the homeless shelters, the soup kitchens, the warming centers and all that. And at that point, he decided that, you know, maybe it's not a good idea to close Holy Trinity at this time. And so what he did is that he changed the wording of our church a little bit. We were Holy Trinity Church in the past. Now we're Holy Trinity Mission Church, because he saw that so much of our work was missionary. It was an outreach to the poor, so that you don't have to travel to Africa or Indonesia or someone to, you know, to respond to the poor people. They're right in
our
neighborhoods.
They're right here. Yeah. They're right here.
And so the missionary work, you know, continues wherever you happen to be at any given time. And in our church, it happened at Holy Trinity. And so during the years, I saw the needs of people. And years ago, a woman named Susan Campbell, are you familiar with her?
Oh, yes.
So Susan Campbell wrote it, came
from the Hartford Courant.
From the Hartford Courant.
Yep.
Spent a day with us at Holy Trinity. At that point, I had a pastoral associate who was named Sister Mary Louise, who was a beautiful sister of St. Joseph. And in spending the day with us, Susan Campbell wrote a beautiful article on us and basically said that our church is in this eye of the storm. Because she was there when people would come to the door with different needs, wants, desires, expectations, and we dealt with them. And she wrote about those people who came to the door that day. And again, she referred to it in terms of the eye of the storm, where we are. Because she looked around and she said, you're right in the center of the city of Hartford. She said, you are within walking distance of the train station, the bus station. Mm-hmm. You're within walking distance of at least 10 shelters, homeless shelters, warming centers. She said, you're within walking distance of the methadone clinic, of the abortion clinic. She said, you're right in the eye of the storm here. And she said, people know that, and they come to your door because they know that either you or the sister are going to do all that you can to help them. And so that's what we've been doing for the past 23 years there. She unfortunately died in 2018. I loved her. She did beautiful work.
Yes.
And our work includes all different types of things. And so, for example, one of the things we recognized years ago is that the people in the area would go to food banks to get food for themselves. Mm-hmm. And so many of those people would tell me that they had, you know, dogs or cats, that they would feed the tuna fish to their cats, and they would feed the canned meat to their dogs. And so it's interesting how God works. God sent a woman into our parish named Lori Raridan, who is the head of our Aid a Pet program. And forgot the reason, but they had to leave the Charter Oak area where they were, and they were looking for another church to come. And she came to us and she said, would you be willing to at least consider the idea of having Aid a Pet move to Holy Trinity? And I said, yeah, of course. And she says, well, how much are you going to charge us? I said, I'm not going to charge you anything.
Unbelievable.
And so she came on board, and now Aid a Pet has been there for a few years. Hopefully you'll be able to speak to her someday on the radio too. But she heads this program with a lot of volunteers, and once a month we have people come to receive food for their dogs and for their cats. And the average number of people to come on a monthly basis is between 160 and 200 people.
Wow.
And it opens at 10 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, the last Saturday of the month it opens up. And people would begin standing in line at 8 a.m. to receive food. And not only did we provide food for their animals, but we also would, one of the requirements to continue to receive food was to have their animals neutered or spayed. Mm-hmm. And so we had them sign a form. And what we did, because we're subsidized by a lot of people, not the diocese, but by a lot of people, we would be able to spay or neuter their cats and dogs for just $50. And we paid for the rest of that. And so that's one of the things we did in addition to feeding their animals. And also, if they had an animal that they loved, and certainly, you know, you have a dog.
I do.
I have a dog.
Yes.
And so if they have medical issues, they can become very costly at times.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so we had funds available that people would make donations. We're able to help people not only with the spaying and neutering of their animals, but also with the emergency medical needs as they came about.
Wow, you've done amazing things. Again, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Father Charles Jacobs from Holy Trinity
Mission Church
in Hartford. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate it. And Father, you also have been out there encouraging people to bring their pets to church.
Yeah, we're probably the only church that I know of that is pet friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting how that
works. How does that work? Where do they sit in the pew?
Of course, they sit with the pew.
Do they make pew?
That's not nice. So we also have a smoking and non-sexing smoking in the church.
What?
No, kidding.
Goodness. I'm like, that's a flashback.
But they would bring their pets, and that was a way of bringing more people into the church. You know how the church is constantly looking to see how can we bring more people into the church? Well, by allowing people to bring their pets, we would have elderly people who didn't want to leave their pets.
I know the feeling. You don't even have to be elderly. My dog's right here with me in the office right now.
We not only attracted people who would bring their pets, but we also attracted a lot more kids would come.
Of course.
Because if they could bring their dog, they would come to church.
How fun is that?
Yeah, it was great.
You've really done an amazing thing now. Now I kind of want to get to the meat of the story because... unfortunately, you're no longer standing at the pulpit in the church right now.
But I want to be. Yeah.
You want to be. Yeah. And we're going to do what we can to make sure that mm-hmm. happens. So I also want to let you know that, you know, the turnout and the support that you've gotten from your parishioners, from the people who run the shelters, from the people in the shelters that you have, you know, supported. You've dedicated 23 years of your life to Holy Trinity Mission Church, right?
Right.
You're 73 years old. You could have retired.
But I don't look it.
You don't look it.
Thank you.
Well, I'm going to tell you, this is radio, but he does not look 73 years old. And you've got the most amazing spirit about you and sense of humor.
I don't even sound 73.
You don't. I know. You really don't. But, you know, you could have retired, Father.
Yep.
But now, you know, they've taken you from mm-hmm. your position. The Archdiocese of Hartford made you move out of the rectory after how many years?
After 23 years.
Okay, folks at home, can you imagine living in your home for 23 years and you had how much time to move out?
A little over a week. I think 10 days.
10 days after 23 years. Okay, so let that process for a while, folks.
Mm-hmm.
How does that happen? And you have parishioners there. You have people's lives you've touched, whose funerals you have presided over, all these things, because they are alleging misappropriation of funds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now this is a legal issue, so we can't get into a lot of details. When you are asked, what is it you want people to know, did you disappropriate funds, Father?
I did not, Ann. They're claiming that I used parish funds for my own personal use. That is absolutely not true. I use funds to help people in the community in many, many different ways. We've helped people with food, with gas, with security deposits, rent. We've helped them with gasoline, many, many ways which the people help. Even I think I shared with you before how we had one young man who came and his mother died recently, and they weren't able to afford a funeral for her. And so I gave him I said, you could just go to the funeral parlor, Dylan Baxter in Wethersfield, and set up a funeral for your mother, and I'll pay that with my credit card. And I did. And so on a personal level and through financial funds also, I was able to help people. But I never at any time used that money for my own personal use.
And that's the end of the story.
That's the end of the
story. That's the end of the story, and that's where the end of the story should be. They need to get you back.
Back.
Because what has happened from what I've read and from what I've seen is that a lot of these parishioners have left that church.
They've left.
Because you're not there.
Right.
I know you feel bad, but you know, it's part of the reason that you go is because you like the person who's delivering the message of God, right? It's a personal choice. So what is your hope? What is it that you want to see happen? And do you think that there's a chance you might get back to the job that you love?
I hope. I hope I do. You know, it's interesting, Ann, too, that our Church of Holy Trinity, I checked the zip codes out at one point, and we have people coming to our church from 47 different zip codes. Now, that says something.
It sure does.
Places like North Brantford, East Granby, Avon, coming from all over, Cromwell. Because there's something about that church and something about that community that is bringing them there, where they feel welcomed, affirmed, loved, accepted, where together I stress together. We're growing in our faith relationship with God. Together that's happening. And the people, I share with them the needs of the community. And because so many of them are from the suburbs and areas other than Hartford, you know, they have the resources to help us to accomplish a lot of things that we want to do. You know, we have periodic collections to help the warming centers and all that. And every time we do, the response is phenomenal. And now I may have maybe 300 people tops, I think, at our parish, but our collections far exceed, I'm sure, those of many, many suburban parishes, because I make people aware that there are needs in the area, and our faith is not something that we just profess. It has to be something we live. Otherwise, don't even bother. And even, you know, the book of James tells us that faith without works is dead. And so there's nothing dead about our parish of Holy Trinity, nothing dead about our parish.
Well, I gotta, you know, this is just me, my personal comment. There is something about that, because, you know, this was a thriving parish.
Yep, and it still could be.
In the inner city of Hartford. And Father Jacobs is a man who wants his job back.
Yep, I want it back.
So, again, we can't get into a lot of detail, but you heard what Father said. And what is it that you said again? When it comes to these allegations made by the Archdiocese of Hartford.
They're false.
Yep, they're not true.
Yep, false.
And when someone says to you, Father, do you swear to God?
I do. Well, God, I don't have to swear. God sees what I do and what I don't do, right?
And you haven't done this?
No. Mm-mm, nope.
So, unfortunately, you're in the midst of fighting the good fight. They've taken your collar away. And before the show started, you said there was a long time parishioner, whose mother you knew very well.
Yep.
Share with our listeners what happened there. Let's just go back to, these are allegations. You have been charged with nothing at this point.
No.
So what happened?
So I was put on administrative leave. Mm-hmm. And so part of administrative leave involves, number one, you said no longer identifying as a priest or being able to wear the collar. And so I don't. And also part of that is not being able to function in that role. So I'm not able to do any type of public ministry. So, for example, funerals, weddings, baptisms, committal services, wake services. So I'm not allowed to do any of those services at this time. And so one of the parishioners' mothers recently died. And I would have liked to have done that funeral, but I couldn't do it because they stripped me of that freedom to celebrate Mass publicly. But they did tell me I could celebrate Mass privately. I said, well, I probably will, but it won't be private. They said, well, it has to be. I said, well, no, it won't be, because I'm going to be with my dog.
Oh, jeez. You know, I don't know how you do it, Father. I don't know how you maintain your sense of spirit and your sense of personality and sense of humor. You know, with all this swirling around you, it seems to me you're still hopeful.
Of course.
Because you want to go back.
Yeah, and if I don't, God has another plan for me, and I believe that. There'll be another plan.
There will be a plan, but, and this is, you know, as a practicing Catholic myself, I got to say, with all the things going on in our world, in the Catholic Church, all the controversy, all the things that we could be focused on, do you really want to take a man of God who has dedicated his entire life, built a parish, helped how many thousands of people over the course of time?
I'd like to hear them testify. It'd be nice if they said it
themselves.
Well,
we've heard, and they have, and they will continue to support you. But, you know, I guess the big question is the Archdiocese and the Archbishop of Hartford listening to the people? Or are they worried about maybe a couple bucks that when someone knocks on the door of the rectory in the middle of the night, you know, came out of the basket? I don't know.
See, so bottom line, it's all about the people. It's all about the people. And for the Archdiocese to, you know, treat me like this, it's really treating the people the same way, because they're not respecting my people.
What about listening to the people?
They don't want to hear from the people. They don't want to hear from them.
Do you think that their real intention is to shut this church down?
Eventually. That's a goal. Eventually it is. I didn't think it would be this quickly, but
And you've come so close before, but yet you had another archbishop who listened to what you were all about.
He did. Oh, yeah.
Rebranded you to continue to help your community and those in it.
Yep.
And now you're facing a slow death again.
Yeah, but I know the goal is, and not only is Holy Trinity on the cut, on the block to be cut, but a lot of the parishes are in the city of Hartford, so it's not just us. And so eventually a lot of them would be going, but I don't want to see ours go. I think back in 2015, the response that the church got, I think, really prevented them from closing the church at that point. It was too much pressure on them. They received too many letters, too many phone calls, too many people were advocating on my behalf, you know, including the mayor of the city of Hartford. And so there are people who really wanted that church to continue.
Well, and you know what people are doing right now, Father? The same thing.
Of course.
I'm hoping that the phone is blowing up over at their offices in Hartford. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that you brought in, you've shown me the letters of support that you've gotten from hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people since this happened not that long ago. So let's hope that this time that they listen and that you get back up there in front of your parishioners and do what you do and do what you love. Mm-hmm. Because you could easily say, hey, I'll take my pension, I'll take my retirement, I'm old enough, I'll move along, maybe there's something else for you, but this is what you want.
This is what I want.
So what is your hope? Because, you know, it's just like you have a little, you know, there's a beam of sunshine and you think things are going to get better, especially when it comes to the Catholic Church. And then there's stories like yours. I mean, you're sitting here based on an allegation that there's no criminal charges against you. They just say it's ongoing. But when you sit here in front of me, folks, and I got to tell you, I wouldn't have you on the radio if I thought in any way that you really did what you're being accused of.
Of course.
I'm not going to do that.
Yep.
You know, in my professional life as a strategic communicator, I've been asked to represent priests on other topics, which I won't get into, and my answer is always no.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was asked, you know, will I talk to you? I want to hear your story. I want to meet you. I want to hear it from you. I believe 150% in your innocence. And I know you do.
Yep.
And a lot of other people do too, Father. So, you know, we all just have to continue to put on the pressure to let people know that this is not a good decision. This is not what people want, especially in that community. And again, let's remember the legacy. You know, for somebody new to come into town that doesn't really know, maybe I'm saying doesn't really care, but we know. But again, you know, I guess the bottom line is there's been so much compassion from people, so much solidarity around you, Father Jacobs, and you're surrounding yourself with the people that really do care about you. So with a few minutes left, you know, you're going through all this. I bet you can't believe it at your age that you're going through all of this for what I think are just senseless reasons, you know, but it doesn't seem like you're not shedding any tears.
No, because I believe that God is going to get me through this, Ann.
And you believe in your innocence.
Yeah, and I have the support of my God, my family, and my parish family at Holy Trinity. What more do I want? And now I have your support, Ann.
You do have me. You have my support as well. So whether it's going through something like you're going through or just what people go through in everyday life, there is hope, Father. Can you give us that at the end of this program?
Of course. And to those who are listening today, I do believe in the power of prayer. And so I encourage you to pray for me, you know, to pray for the Archdiocese, that they'll have a change of heart, maybe, a change of heart, and that maybe what we preach, forgiveness, reconciliation, redemption, that maybe we'll all become more aware of that and allow those qualities to be lived out more fully in our lives and in our relationships with each other.
But you just said those three words. You don't need those right now because you didn't do anything wrong.
No, but they think I did, so they need those. They need to hear
back
those
at
words.
Them.
Yep, back at them.
Back at them. Let's throw it right back at them. Okay, why don't you? Well, let's end this program. We've never done this. I've been doing this a long time. Why don't you end our show today with a little prayer?
Okay, so let us pray. We acknowledge the presence of God among us and within us. We acknowledge the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who tells us that where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. And so Ann and I acknowledge the presence of God in our midst in our community prayer. So we ask the Lord's blessings first and foremost upon all of you who are listening to this radio program today, that God will continue to guide you, direct you, and show his face to you, that God will continue to fill you with his peace, encourage you and support you along the journey of life, and always give you hope, encouragement, and acknowledging and responding to the will of God in your lives. And may God, who has begun this good work within each one of us, continue to bring it to its completion, as we ask the Lord's blessings upon each one of us, our God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Charles Jacobs, keep up the good fight.
Thank you, Ann.
You've got this, and you've got a lot of people behind you.
We've got this,
Ann. We've got this. And thanks to all of you for tuning in to this edition of News You Can Use. I'm Ann Baldwin, and we'll see you back here again next Sunday, right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.